The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so Hilchos Chanukah. I feel like most years I don't end up like learning Hilchos Chanukah until like Chanukah. So I'm very excited to like start now. And I'm also on the hunt for a sugya to give Shiron for like, not for you guys, but for... Hanukkah sugya. And so the thing that intrigued me, I'm just telling you this now in case anyone like has anything on this, is we'll see this today, but what is the relationship between Simcha and Hanukkah halachically and philosophically? Apparently it is not a clear issue.
What is it, Simcha and Hanukkah?
Ah, see? It's not a clear issue. All right, so we'll look. There's stuff about Malacha. There's stuff about Su'uda. Whether there's Su'uda, there's Isser Tainis and Hesped. And the Rambam, we'll see, takes a firm stance, but it's not so clear. There's Halal. Yeah, right. But the question is, yeah, does Halal have to do with Simcha? Yeah, right. I mean, it does. I think so. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's just where my head is at right now. Okay, let's start. Okay, so first of all, okay, so first of all, background. This is in Sefer Zmanim, in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, which is the last section, and in his Hagdama to that section, this is one of the few sections where he says Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah Yesh Bichlal and Shtem. Okay, so first of all, if you already know the answer, then don't say it. But what's weird about the title? Okay, so you can ask the question why he puts them together. Okay, yeah. So either he should say Hilchos Purim v'Chanukah, or Hilchos, yeah, something like that. Yeah, right. So he does Megillah, which is the mitzvah, you know, seemingly, right, and then Hanukkah, which is the name of the holiday. Plain shot, right? Yeah, Megillah v'Ner Hanukkah would be good, right? Yeah, right. Or like if he was saying like Purim v'Chanukah, you know, yeah, okay. But then he says Yesh bichlalan shtei mitzvos haseh midivrei sofrim ve'ena min haminyan. There are two mitzvos midivrei sofrim which are not included in the minyan. Ubir shtei mitzvos elu b'prakim elu, and the explanation of these mitzvos is in these prakim. So this is one of the few sections. The other one being Hilchos Erevin, where the Rambam says where it's a section that only has mitzvos midivrei sofrim, and therefore he doesn't like list what the mitzvah is. And we went through in our first year a shiur from the Kuntres on the implications of that, but we're not going to go through that this year. Yosef, do you have a question?
I just may I deal with the actual one day of Purim was like a certain day of Hanukkah.
I mean, there are Yemei Purim,
yeah,
right?
But
yeah, but who cares?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice move, but who cares? Yeah. What was that? The holiday and not the mitzvah? The holiday. Sukkah, Shofar, Velula, right? So that's... Right. That's an interesting point, right? That's an interesting point. Right. Right. I guess, yeah, right. So in other words, the anomaly is Hanukkah here, right? You're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Megillah is the consistent one. Yeah, okay, right. So I think we can answer this question with today. Now, obviously, so the first two prakim are Megillah and then Hanukkah. So, I mean, I think this is an obvious answer, but why does he go Megillah and then Hanukkah? It happened in that order, right? Yeah, the Megillah was during, you know, between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and Hanukkah was Bayis Sheni. Okay, so here we go. The Bayis Sheni Kishimahu Yavan, in the second Beis HaMikdash time period when Greece reigned, Gazru Gazeros al Yisrael, then they made decrees against Israel, Ubitlu Datam, and they abolished their religion. Oh, this is the other thing I want to try to do this year, which I've never done before, is going into the other texts, like you know, Josephus and Sefer Maccabim and Megillas Antiochus, just to supplement my understanding of this stuff, because I've read about that stuff but I haven't actually read it, so we'll see if that shows up. Yeah,
very interesting.
yeah I knew you'd have a sheet on it. Yeah,
I'm curious, why have you done this?
Okay, so yeah, let's keep that in mind, right? So the question is, why is he going over the history, right? Yeah, all right. So Gazruk Zeros al Yisrael b'til d'tam v'lohi nicho osam lasuk b'Torah mitzvos, and he did not allow them to be involved in Torah and mitzvos. to engage in tournament. So Pashtu Yadam Bimamona Bipinosam, and they extended their hand into the Jews' money and women. And they went, meaning that they took their money, they took their women. And they went into the sanctuary. How do you translate pratzo bo pratzos? Yeah.
Breached the sanctums.
Yeah. Okay. So they literally means they broke down like barriers, or they breached breaches, right? They made breaches, right? I don't exactly know what that's referring to. Are you saying like structurally in terms of breaking down the walls?
I was more thinking of more metaphorical sense.
That's the other. I'm torn between those two things. So let's see. I was telling Chaim that this is the first year we have the Yad Pshuta, so he can supplement us in a more easy way with the Gemaras. So he says, "Niknazu lehechal pratzibol pratzos mishna midos beis gemol v'shloshes rei pratzos hayubo sheparzu malchi yavan v'chazru v'gadrum." Oh, so it's literal, I think, right? That there were 13 breaches that the malchi yavan breached and then they restored. Let's just see what that is, though. Midos 2-3. Anyone ever done Masechus Midos before? No. okay, Midos, Mishnayos, Kabilos, Midos. Is it going to be Kachim? Yeah, Kachim. Midos, what did it say? 2-3. Oops, 2 Jimel. There were third. Wait, where was it? Pratos. Yeah. Okay, because of all the terminology, because there's only 15 minutes, I'll just read it in English. Inside the wall of the Temple Mount was the Sorig, a low fence around the temple, which served as a boundary beyond which entry to those impure was prohibited. 10 tefachim handbreadths high. There were 13 breaches in it made originally by the Greek kings. And when the Jews fixed these breaches, they enacted 13 prostrations equivalent to them. Okay, I don't know what that means. Inside the sorig was the chel. Okay, so these are like literal breaches then. Okay, fine. So that does answer that question. I never know what that refers to. Megillus Antiochus, it says, Achrechein ba'u b'nei hachashmonai lebeis hamikdash v'yivnu es hasharim hanishbarim v'yisgru pratos. Okay, so that's what it's referring to, that afterwards the b'nei hachashmonai came to the base of Mikdash and they built the gates that were broken and they closed the breaches. Yeah, okay, fine. So then it says, Vitimu Hataharos. Actually, you know what we should do if we're really responsible? We should really see what, not read the entire commentary, but just make sure we know what the pshat is of, like, you know, these things that they did, right? I mean, Gazu Gazeros Ayisrael Bitul Datam. Oh, interesting. Igeres Taman. This is the other thing I like about the Abshut. He quotes, Ramam things that we wouldn't necessarily have. So in Igeres Taman, which the Ramam wrote to the Jews of Yemen, he says, Famin Hasheni, the second type, I don't know what he's saying, second type of what, Heim Nevone Ha'umos V'chach Mehem, is the understanding members, non-Jews and their Chachamim, Kisrianim, the Caesars, I assume? No, Kasrianim, Vahaparsim, Vahivanim. It says Surim Notrim. I don't know what that's referring to. Yeah, Syrian Christians, maybe? I don't know, Surim, yes, right? Vahaparsim and Persians, Vahivanim in Greeks. Vahim, Gam, Kain, Mishtalim, Lasaser, or Listor HaTorah, Lanatsta. They wanted to undermine the Torah, to contradict it, and to uproot it. Betainos yichad shubahen chashad, with arguments that they tried to, that they came up with to make people suspicious of it. Uva machlokos nitzuach yichabrun, and with polemics, like arguments that they waged against Torah that they composed. Yishtadlu listor behen esadas v'limkos zichra. They strove to undermine the religion and to erase its memory. Okay, and then likewise is v'chim b'bayisheni, so too in b'bayisheni, the es tagboras milchames yavan harasha'a, when the Greek monarchy, evil Greek monarchy, rose up, gazru shmados atzumos, they decreed huge persecutions. Strong and cautious persecutions all Israel, in order to destroy the Torah according to their plan. They force them to violate Shabbos, v'shelo yimolu b'nehem, and to not circumcise their sons, v'sheyichtov kol echad v'echan bibigdo, and to, for each, oh, I've read about this, and they made each person write on his garment, in lo chelek b'Hashem elokei Yisrael, he does not have a portion in Hashem, the God of Israel. That's interesting. V'yachuk al keren shoro kain, and I never got that, and to write that on the horns of their bulls. Okay, like I don't know if it's like if that's like a branding thing, like not branding, like branding Hellenism. I mean, like yeah, like yeah, like that. I guess you know, like I don't know if it was a thing or is it their shofar? You know, Karen Shor, I don't know. Vaz yecharesh bo. Oh, and then to plow with it. Yes, yeah, so almost like they're like I guess it would be the equivalent. Maybe this is a total speculation of like if you made all Jews write that on their car. You know, like I have no portion in the God of Israel. You know, like and then like it's their like. Their means of you know associated with their livelihood or whatever. I don't know. V'hismid kain k'chamishim ushtaim shana. Oh, that's important information. They persisted at this for chamishim ushtaim shana for 52 years. Yeah. Now again, I don't know what the Rambam was relying on. My do you know if the which historical records were available to the Rambam? Like what he was would have been relying on.
There are definitely probably the various Christian books of Maccabees. Mm-hmm. I feel
like that would have been available, right?
Yeah, Josephus, I'm actually doubtful. Like,
oh, yeah?
I've never read that. Like,
why? Did that only come up later on?
No, my assumption is that Josephus is, in a sense, a Greek work. And that, like, yeah, it might have been a Jew who wrote it, but, like, fundamentally, it was translated and handed down by Greeks and therefore, I don't know for certain, but just that therefore it wouldn't be on the mental map of things to look at.
Right, but if the Rambam was already relying on translations of Greek works for like other stuff, then I don't know what was available.
Like the Arabs just they only give up falsely, they didn't care about
it. Oh yeah,
like the Arabs just they
they care about medicine.
I mean, there's a point they care about the practical things.
Uh-huh. Not history. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'll ask some people. And then God destroyed their malchus and their religion together. Ha! They got what they deserved. Okay. Megillus Antiochus, Vahibime Antiochus, Vian, Vyomer Lasarav, Ata Ba'u Banale Alehem, Vnivatal Mehem Es Habris, Asher Karas Lahem Elohehem, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Umila. Okay, so that's pasuk from Megillus Antiochus. That Antiochus rose up, I guess that's he rose up and said to his officers, now come, let us go up and negate their covenant that they sealed with their gods, Shabbos, sorry, with their God, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Mila. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, Chashecha, Zo Malchus Yavan, Shehechshicha, Inehem, Shal Yisrael, Mikol Mitzvos HaTorah. Okay, so that's darshening in Rambam's Brisbane of Basarim when he had the vision. It says that there is... right, that there was all these words for darkness, and they say that alludes to like the various galios. So it's saying that Hashecha is Yavan because it darkened their eyes for mitzvos. Wow, a lot of these things. One let's go to the end here. Megillas Tainis, oh, sorry. Bereshis Rabbah says Choshech Zo Galus Yavan Shechshicha Inei Yisrael Bekezei Roseha. So it's Yavan is called darkness. Because it darkened the eyes of Israel through their gezeros, Shaisa Omeris to Israel, they said to Israel, "Kisfu b'keren shor she'in lachem chelak b'elkei Israel." See, there you go again. Right in on the horn of an ox, I have no portion in the world of or in the God of Israel. Okay, Megillas Tainis says, "Shepam achas gazra malchus Yavan harasha'a gezera al Yisrael v'amru lahem in lachem chelak b'elkei Israel lo hayu maskirin shem shemayim b'fihem." Okay, so they made a gezerah to you know to say that they have no portion, and v'lohayu maskirin shem shemayim b'fihem, and to not mention God's name. That's interesting. And then the last one, we give us times parakeh b'mei malchus yavan hayu danim b'dine hagoyim. In the time of malchus yavan, they would do judgment in the courts of the goyim. Because shagavra yad beis chashmonai batlum v'hayu danim b'dine Israel, and then they went back to the dine Israel. So see, this is the type of like midrashic data that like. Fills in some of the picture because until I read these things, like all I know is Ram saying, okay, Gazru Gazeros, woo, whoop de doo, you know, like what is the thing? And even if this is not historically accurate, which I have to see if it is interesting that this is how Chazal like you know, presented what was going on in that time. Okay, let's finish reading the halakha and then we'll come back to tomorrow. We said principal pratos, they broke down the barriers, became hataharos, and they made impure the pure things. But sarlahem liyisrael ma'od mipnan, and they oppressed Israel exceedingly because of them. Lachatim lachat gadol, and they oppressed them a lot. Ad shericham alehem alokei avaseinu v'hoshiyam yadam, until the God of our fathers had mercy on them and saved them from their hand. V'gavru b'nei chashmonai ha-kohanim ha-gdolim b'haragum. And the chashmonayim, the great kohanim, overpowered them and killed them. V'hoshiyu Yisrael miyadam, and saved Israel from their hand. V'hemidu melach mina kohanim, and they set up a king from the kohanim. V'chazra malchus li-Yisrael yesra al-masayim shanim ad ha-korban ha-sheni. And then the malchus lasted for Israel for 200 more years, more than 200 years until the second korban. Yeah, so I think what I'm going to do, Bli Neder, is I think because now I know that this Yad Pshut has so much stuff here, I think I'll go ahead through it ahead of time, find stuff that would be relevant to bring in to fill in the details. But we haven't even gotten to the full thing yet. All right, fine. All right, so we got easing into it.
As far as the...
Yeah, sure. That's what we're here for, yeah.
It sounds like psychological warfare, probably.
Definitely, right.
Right on there. Sure, they're working in the field. They see it the whole time.
Right.
They tell them you can't say it.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about the psychological warfare, though, is it's psycho-religiosity warfare. You know, like, I think the narrative that we hear is that the Hellenization was like a secularization, which I'm sure in many ways it is analogous, but like, you know, going out and saying you are disowned by your God is very different than just saying like, oh, come to our gymnasium and like reverse your foreskin, you know, like, you know, like the it, you know, which is what they also did.
And one is not trying to deny
Right. And what I want to understand is like, what was that all about? You know, like, you know, and like also saying, you know, saying we're going to negate the bris of their God. Like, you know, I'm more curious this year than I haven't been in years past about what the actual nature of the opposition to Judaism was or to Jews and what form it took and then what parallels there are to now. Cause that's definitely part of like the ongoing threat, you know? And I feel like if we don't take that into account, then we're kind of like missing the boat. Yeah. Okay.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.